chapter 1, verse 1 through 15. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." May God bless this reading.
Have you made any New Year's resolutions? What have you resolved to stop doing or start doing tomorrow? A lot of people here lately choose to have a dry January, giving up alcohol if they generally indulge for the month. Others will make a plan to diet or exercise more. I suspect that many resolutions like that are motivated by guilt, or just not feeling all that great after the overindulgences of the holiday season. And I dare say that if that's the motivation for a resolution, it won't last. Guilt just isn't a good motivator for real and lasting change. But not everybody makes resolutions based on guilt, even if those resolutions are about diet or exercise. We make resolutions at the start of a new year because it's sort of a natural dividing line between what's past and what's in front of us. It's an ideal time for a new beginning. But oftentimes our resolutions are unrealistic, which means we are almost immediately going to get discouraged and quit. If you resolve, for instance, to exercise more in the new year, after barely even walking much beyond the recliner to the little room, you don't start by training for a marathon. You're setting yourself up for failure. Instead, the best thing to do is find something that is realistic and simply move more than you're already doing. I watch a YouTuber named Jerry Brooks. He's an elementary school principal in Kentucky or Tennessee, I don't remember which. Most of his videos are funny takes on things that happen at school, especially the things teachers deal with on a regular basis, faculty meetings, overly involved or hostile parents, their own occasional discouragement, that sort of thing. But yesterday he posted a short video titled, "I Double Dog Dare You." And we all know, of course, that a double dog dare is a serious matter. And Mr. Brooks, he's not my principal, but he is a principal, so I'm going to call him what I would call him if he was my principal. He was being quite serious. He was talking about New Year's resolutions, and he proposed 5 resolutions that he believes everyone should make. 1, I just mentioned, exercise. Don't start by training for a marathon. Start by getting up and walking 20 minutes, 3 times a week. If you can't walk that long at once, break it up and do 5 minutes 4 times a day. Or even if that feels like too much, there are videos you can find that guide you through things you can do seated, like chair yoga. It is a simple beginning if exercise hasn't been part of your life until now. 2, start saving. He suggested $10 a week, $40 a month. That amounts to a couple of fancy coffee drinks or 1 trip through the drive-thru per week. Since I'm already getting in the habit of exercising regularly, this is the one I would start with. 3, sleep. Mr. Brooks said experts disagree on what kind of exercise is best for your health and for losing weight, if that's something you feel the need to do. But the one thing they all agree on is that getting a good night's sleep is critical. Again, simple adjustments can help. Get everything prepared for the next day so you don't lie awake making a mental to-do list. He didn't mention it, but you may find, as I do, that a regular routine of bedtime prayer helps. A warm bath or shower can help our body know that it's time for sleep. And if you drink caffeinated beverages, stop them at a sensible time. 4 p.m. is what he suggested. I find I have to stop coffee a lot earlier than that, personally. But everybody's different. 4, add 1 healthy recipe per month. There are lots of places where we can find recipes these days. Cookbooks are obvious, but there are tons of them online. And finally, 5, which I think is the most critical. As you probably know if you've already read our January newsletter. Choose kindness every day. Notice the folks that you encounter as you go about your day. Compliment something about them, even something as simple as how they've done their nails. And of course, whenever you act, keep in mind how what you're doing could affect someone else. I've told before about this conversation I had with my mom when I was growing up. My folks raised me to choose kindness whenever possible. We were pulling into the church parking lot one Sunday morning, running late as usual, and my mom parked in the 2nd or 3rd row back from the door, even though there were spaces available right by the door. I asked her why we didn't park in one of those closer spaces, particularly since we were running late. And her response was that someone could come after us who can't walk very well or very far, so we leave those spaces for them. Choose kindness daily. So why am I going on and on about New Year's resolutions? Well, it is New Year's Eve. Tomorrow we begin a new year. We turn over a page on our calendar, if we still have a paper calendar, that is. It's a new beginning, a fresh start. And that's what our scripture reading for today is about, too. It says so in the very first sentence, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's gospel, which will be the focus from now until Easter, hits the ground running. Mark doesn't include any birth narratives, nor does he start with a prologue like John does, setting the stage and letting us know right up front the cosmic meaning of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Instead, he starts with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then John the Baptist shows up after Mark makes the connection between him and the voice crying in the wilderness in Isaiah 40 and my messenger in Malachi, which is actually what the name Malachi means, is my messenger. 6 verses in, Jesus himself appears and gets baptized. Mark doesn't, as Matthew does, explain why it is that Jesus, the Son of God, chooses to undergo a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It just happens. And then the heavens are torn open, the Spirit descends like a dove, and the bat kol, the term used by some rabbis of the time for the voice of God, proclaims that Jesus is my Son, the Beloved. People who were familiar with the Hebrew scriptures would have noticed points of connection with a variety of passages from the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms. The people, discouraged at the enormity of the task of rebuilding their destroyed capital and God's ruined temple after the exile, cried out in the 64th chapter of Isaiah, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down." Mark's first hearers would have connected John the Baptist with Elijah, whom it was believed would come as a harbinger of the Messiah, in addition to recognizing another passage from Isaiah and another, as I said, from Malachi. The statement, "You are my son," came from one of the royal Psalms, the second, in which God refers to the anointed king of Israel as my son. Here it's given a slightly different meaning. And after he's baptized, the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness, a place known to be spiritually significant. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Elijah goes to the wilderness and encounters God. And of course, John the Baptist normally lives in the wilderness, choosing a life of voluntary poverty in pursuit of a deep relationship with God. This is just the beginning, as I said. We're going to be in Mark through Easter, except most likely for 2 weeks from today. Here is a new beginning, a new way of living, a new way of being God's people. It's not just a new year, it's a new life, made possible by Jesus. So it seems appropriate to read this passage on New Year's Eve, just before what in African American tradition is known as Watch Night, an annual remembrance of the January 1st of 1863, when the Emancipation Proclamation took effect and their enslaved ancestors became free people. But I don't think Mark is just saying, "I'm going to start telling you about Jesus now." Instead, I would argue that he is claiming his entire gospel is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if a good story always has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and the whole gospel is the beginning, then what comes next? Well, we do. This is our story, ours and that of all the followers of Jesus who have come before us, and all the people who will follow him after we are long gone. And today we have, in our reading, the beginning of the story. And we place ourselves in the story as people who have been given a new beginning, who've been set free from enslavement to sin and death. It gives the notion of a New Year's resolution a whole new meaning. Now we have new life in Christ who has set us free, as a somewhat new Korean hymn we have in the Chalice Hymnal says. What will we do with that new life? What's your resolution? Not just a New Year's resolution, but a new life's resolution. Having been made a part of the story that starts with the Gospel of Mark, how will we live from this moment on? How will our lives demonstrate our part in the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God?